Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Amen. Are you believing God to do it again? Hallelujah. Hey, take your Bible and hold it up, whether it's in book form or digital form, and say this after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed. Therefore, I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer. Therefore, I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart, I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word, and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now take that same Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we want to look at the miracle here in chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 12. I'm going to read down probably to verse 26 or so. And the context of this is a miracle has happened. And Peter and John are the vessels that Jesus flowed through. It was a healing of a crippled man. And the custom was that his family or friends would take him and they would lay him at one of the temple entrances. It was called the Gate Beautiful. So you couldn't live in Jerusalem and not know this man. Peter and John, as their custom was going to the Lord's temple for prayer. And it's here that the Spirit of the Lord stops them. Peter says the most famous words, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, take up thy bed and walk." And instantaneously, this crippled man that everyone knew was healed. So you can imagine the excitement that filled Jerusalem. You can imagine how this was noised abroad and how people were talking about this miracle because they had seen him day after day begging for alms, for money, for help. And we pick up in verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." Can you say amen? Amen. Aren't you thankful the plans of man cannot stop the work of the Lord? Aren't you thankful the plans of this world, the systems of this world cannot stop what God has purposed to do? You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. You know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Now, friends, I realize what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah. that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment or times of restoration will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet for you, like me, from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you." Then Moses said, "Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people." He continues preaching, starting with Samuel. Every prophet spoke about what is happening today. And you are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, "Through your descendants, all the families on the earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. I want you to drop back to verse 19 and verse 20 because these verses have always stuck out to me. Peter's message was this: now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he again will send Jesus, your appointed Messiah. The last couple of weeks, we've been revisiting our theme, God, do it again. And notice, times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. See, that word time talks about a new season, an appointed time. And I've given my thoughts a title today of a new season. How many are believing God for a new season, a season of breakthrough, a season of authority, a season of anointing, a season of God doing the miraculous in your life? I believe great things are in store for you as a follower of Christ. I believe that the best is yet to come. The enemy's been fighting as hard as he can against you. The enemy has thrown every attack against you, but guess what? You're still standing. You're still worshiping. You're still believing. You're still calling upon the name above every name. Jesus is about to turn some things around for you, and Jesus is about to do the miraculous in your life. It's a new season. Claim it for yourself. Claim it for your family. Mom, dad, claim it for your sons and your daughters. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, we're about to move into the final quarter of 2023. And I believe that we're entering into a new season. I believe that we're going to see God doing it again in our heart, time and time again. It's a new season of renewal and refreshing. A new season of renewal, refreshing, and retaking what is rightfully ours. Now, the enemy has stolen from us long enough. The enemy has wreaked his havoc long enough. The enemy has destroyed many of our families, has attacked, and he has confused many children of our household. But how many are going to stand in the authority of Christ and say, "I believe God's going to restore my family. God's going to restore my marriage. God's going to restore my home. God's going to restore our churches. God's going to restore things, turn some things around for our good." When I think of times of refreshing, I think of the moving and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think of revival. Revival to me is a time of spiritual renewal, a time of spiritual hunger, the fire of spiritual hunger burning within us. Refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, Peter told them. Imagine just for a moment, Jerusalem is teeming with life. just a few days ago, in the middle of the Jewish festival of Pentecost, these Judeans had experienced the person of Pentecost, God the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the church was birthed in the power of God. And we talked about this last week, that which was birthed in the power of God must be sustained by the power of God. The life of the Holy Spirit. Refreshing, Peter says, will come from the Lord. The Greek word for Lord there is kurios, which means master, Lord, one who owns it all. So think about this. The refreshing comes from the Lord, the owner of it all. And as owner, as Lord, he has the authority to send the refreshing. He has the right to send the refreshing. He has the ability to send the refreshing. He has the resources, because guess what? He's Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He owns everything. So he has the resources to sustain you. He has the resources to bless you. He has the resources to renew you. He has the resources to cause you to live in abundance. Can somebody say thank you, Lord? Now take your notes, and you'll notice the first point we're going to talk about is a crowd assembled. Write that word, crowd. Verse 9 says this: all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. I love how the New Living Translation puts it. They were absolutely astounded. They recognized him because they had gone this way before. They had seen him begging for money. They had seen him begging out. They saw his bones as they were crooked. They saw his bones as they were stiff. They saw his feet all crippled up and he could not walk. He was dependent upon others to lay him there. They recognized him. And now they are absolutely astounded. Are you ready for God to do something that's going to astound some folk? I wonder, are there some people who believe God just enough that he can work in the astounding department, in the amazement department, in the department that's going to blow your mind? Oh, God's got great things in store for you. God's got great things in store for your life. Suddenly, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. See, a crowd had gathered because of the miracle which had just happened. When the miraculous takes place, people take notice. When the miraculous takes place, people take notice. Going back to the first part of the chapter, you'll see how the miracle took place. Peter and John are headed to the temple for the hour of prayer, as was their custom. And as they get to the temple called Beautiful, there is a man who's been laying there, and people have placed him there for years. He'd been crippled, and he's asking for money. And it says that Peter's eyes fasten upon him and his eyes fasten upon Peter. I imagine he was expecting to receive some money. But Peter said this: silver and gold have I none. Now, at that moment, discouragement could have hit that man's heart. At that moment, discouragement could have flooded his soul. Then why are you talking to me? You don't have anything to give me. You don't have any way to help me. Then why would you stop by? Why would you take notice of me today? You walk by here many times, but you don't have any money today, so you're not going to, but you're going to stop by? But Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, take up thy bed and walk. And the word says instantaneously. It means in a moment. It means in the twinkling of an eye. It means at that moment, the power of God hit that man and those old stiff, crooked bones began to straighten up. And suddenly he jumped up, took that man. He began to worship. He began to praise the Lord because a miracle had happened. And a crowd had gathered. Now, I want to draw your attention to something. Peter says, what I have, I give to you. What do we see that Peter and John had? One translation puts the phrase this way. But what I have been given, I give to you. See, you and I might not have a whole lot of money, but what we've been given, what's been deposited within us, is worth much more than silver and gold. What's been deposited in you is priceless. What's been deposited in you can transform generations. What's been deposited in you can raise the dead and bring them back to life. What's been deposited in you can open the ears of the deaf and open the eyes of the blind. What's been deposited in you can part the waters. What's been deposited in you has called the heavens out every night. And guess what? He calls every star by name. And church, I want you to see this. That same spirit that created the heavens lives in you, abides in you, fellowships with you. Are you fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? Every day, are you fellowshipping in the Holy Spirit? Jude 20 says, pray in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Are you fellowshipping in the Holy Spirit? Are you praying in the Spirit? Are you praying with the understanding? Are you talking to the Spirit of God? And is the Spirit of God talking to you? When I read this story, and I read how this man been lame for so many years and how he was crippled, and it was customary for them to lay him at the gate temple called Beautiful. Peter and John had gone by here many times. What was different this time? What was different? Bob Sorge a few weeks ago talked about that rhema. That rhema word, that word that God drops in your spirit. That word for the moment, for the now. Now, you have to have the written word. You got to have that logos in you. You got to know the word. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit will take that word and bring a rhema to it. That moment, you read that verse 100 times, but then you read it on that first 100th time, and suddenly your eyes are open and the Lord gives you a word in that situation. I propose to you that the world is looking for an authentic church walking the supernatural power of God. They're not looking for some woo-wee, crazy, outlandish. They're looking for the authentic move of God who can speak to their life, speak in their situation, and can encourage them and point them to Jesus. Because it was not Peter that healed this man. It was not John that healed this man. It was Jesus that healed this man. So, a key question. What had Peter and John been given? The answer is the ability or the gifts of the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of this man. There are several gifts in operation here. There's the gift of discernment. There's a gift of faith. There's the gift of healing. There's the gift of miracles. They're happening. They're taking place in this story. Now, to phrase it a little differently, the Holy Spirit filled Peter and John with the necessary tools to touch and transform the crippled beggar. And this is what the gifts are. They're ministry tools for changing lives. Now listen very carefully. The gifts of the Spirit are not trophies, they're not toys, they're not talents, they're not traits, they're tools. Tools for touching and transforming people by the power of Jesus Christ. So the question for us as a church that we must ask is, do we have this fullness to give those who are broken and empty around us? Do we have the fullness of the Spirit of God? Are we walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God? Because our world is broken. Our world is sick. Our world needs healing. And we need to be the church where the Spirit of God is flowing through to touch, to minister, and to speak words of life. To write this, write the word stirs. The activity of God stirs a commotion. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And this is the purpose for the display of the miraculous. This is the reason miracles happen, to bring a stir of the God consciousness of people, for people to turn back to God. It's not for us to say, oh, look what God's doing through me. Right. If you're pointing to yourself, you're pointing to the wrong person. Right. It's for people to be awakened to their need of God the Father through Jesus Christ. The miraculous is still available for us today. It's available for us to point people to Christ so they can repent, turn to him, and times of refreshing may come to their life. When people operate out of fullness, it will lead to opportunities. Peter and John are operating out of fullness. And when you operate out of fullness, it leads to opportunities for the broken to be restored, for the hurting to be healed, and for the miraculous to be displayed. And there's a couple questions that come to my mind when I read this passage. Why do you think they focused on the crippled man this time? Why was it that they could not ignore the beggar's calls or his crippledness? I believe the Holy Spirit said this. The Christ who heard what others didn't hear and saw what others did not see, the Jesus who was so incredibly interruptible, was now in them. Christ's focus became their focus, and they could not take their eyes off an incapacitated man who had God's focused attention. This crippled man had God's focused attention. What God needed was a vessel to flow through. And church, I believe that God still hears the cry of the cripple. I believe God still hears the cry of the beggar. I believe God still hears the cry of the broken. I believe God still hears the cry of him or her who was down and out and addicted. And I tell them, keep crying, because there's a God that hears you. And what God is looking for is a people. He's looking for a people who will be vessels that will listen to his voice and be the hand and feet of Jesus to a broken society. And my prayer is this: God, do it again. Which brings us to our second point. Write the word moment. The moment is seized. Now notice the results of the miracle. A crowd gathered, and a crowd that was willing to listen. I want you to write that word listen, because it's important. It's important that you and I listen. The crowd that was going about their daily routines suddenly had an interruption. And their focus was on what had just taken place. It was undeniable. You couldn't confuse it with anything else, because they knew this man was crippled. And they saw him whole. So now they were willing to listen. Why is the miraculous, the supernatural, important today? Because it gets people's eyes off of the human and onto God. It gets their eyes off of the ordinary plane, and they lift up their eyes to God. Their God consciousness is awakened that you and I can share the gospel of Christ with them. Yes, it's about the crippled man being healed. Yes, it's about the sick being restored. Yes, it's about the broken being placed back together. But it's even more than that. It's about others knowing that there's a God in heaven that loves them, that sent his only begotten son because he loved them. It's about eternal life. It's about them spending eternity with Christ. Because church, we call this life, but this is really just the dress up to get ready for eternity. We're rehearsing for eternity. We call this life. We like this life. It's a good life. It's a wonderful life. But if it's just the rehearsal of what is to come, can you imagine how good heaven's going to be? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be with him for eternity? Wow. The miraculous opened their eyes to listen. Are you listening? Let me show you another example where the supernatural opens or prepares the heart. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. I'm going to read this in the NIV. When the crowds heard Philip saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. They did what? They paid close attention to what he said. When a church is on fire, people are going to watch. When a church is filled with the power, the anointing, the supernatural, people are going to say, what is this? They're going to listen. Doug Morin's book, Churches That Heal, he writes, Jesus healed in many ways, and all of them were miraculous. We must never lose sight of this fact. On 21 occasions, he healed through his spoken word. 13 times, he healed by touching someone. 9 times, people were healed in the course of his preaching and teaching. 8 times, he healed by driving out demons. Another 8 times, he healed because someone other than the sick person demonstrated faith in him. On 7 occasions, he healed because the sick person had faith. 4 times, Jesus healed because he was moved with compassion. And at least 1 time, he healed when someone touched him. He continues to write, listen carefully, we need the miraculous in the church today. Postmodern people are too broken to be fixed through simple human caregiving. They need to be pieced back together through the supernatural healing of Jesus through his body, the church. Church, we need the miraculous again. And our prayer is, God, do it again. God, use your church again. Now notice the progression of what took place. Verse 9, all the people saw him. Verse 10, they were absolutely astounded. Verse 13, they all rushed out in amazement. Verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity and he addressed the crowd. And my hope and my prayer is this, is you'll recognize the activity of the Holy Spirit. And like Peter, you will see the opportunity and say, okay, God, use me. Which brings us to our third and final point. A promise is extended. Write that word promise. Verse 16, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. You know how crippled he was before because you saw him every day. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Now, friends, I realize that what you did, what your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now, verse 19, he says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Repentance. Repentance is twofold. It's turning away from sins and it's turning to God. Many people want to just start over by turning over a new leaf. They want to just lay off the bad behavior. They want to lay off the sin. They want to lay off the things that are unhealthy, but they never turn to God. That's not true repentance. True repentance is turning from and then turning to. It's about following God through Christ. It's about giving your heart and life to Jesus. It's about surrendering to Him. It's about following His teachings and His principles. Yes, we turn away from sin, but we must turn to God. Now notice the promise. Write the word restoration. Times of restoration will come. Times of refreshing will come. You can also say the word restoration. Now, to the Jewish ear, this would mean messianic promises would be fulfilled. Jesus, their Messiah, would bring the fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven to them. For you see, the kingdom of heaven is about the complete will of God being done. You remember Jesus' response to John the Baptist. He's in jail awaiting his death. And he sends some of his disciples over to Jesus asking the question, are you the one? Are you the Messiah or should we keep looking? Are you the one? And Jesus responded to him by giving him the word. He didn't simply respond and say, I am he. He repeated to him the scripture that talks about the messianic age, that talks about the Messiah, talks about what would happen when the Messiah would come. Matthew chapter 11, verse 5 records it. Tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Church, the message of the kingdom. Jesus said, listen, I bring to you the kingdom of heaven. It is now among you. Peter is preaching to this Jewish ear. He's telling them, repent, turn from your sins, and the times of refreshment, restoration will come. What you did to Jesus was done in ignorance. God will again send Jesus, your Messiah, to you. Other words, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the cripple will rise and walk, the dead will rise again to life. This is all about what living for Jesus is about. It's about restoration. It's about healing. Right. It's about the supernatural. Good. And a great question for us to ask is, are we the vessel that God can flow through, that the miraculous can take place? I want to submit to you that your coworkers are walking through some challenges. They may put on a happy face. They may put on a face that looks like everything's together. But inside, they're crying out, God, do you see me? God, if you're real, send somebody to me. Are we in the place that we can hear God say, go to John, go to Sue, go to Mary, and just tell them, Holy Spirit tells me to tell you, God's got it. He sees you. God, do it again. Do it again. That which was inside of Peter and John was the spirit, the life of Jesus. Jesus was so incredibly interruptible. He could be about one thing and somebody come up and he would stop and he would touch them. May we never become so busy that we're not willing to be interrupted for the hurting. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you the opportunity we have. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. I thank you for the power and the presence of God. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, because you have brought us together for such a time as this. And Lord, what I know, what I understand is that in a crowd like this, there are people who are hurting. In a crowd like this, there are people who are searching. There are people who Though they're surrounded by others, they're lonely. They've been crying out to you. And Lord, I pray they have heard today that you, Father God, hear their cry. And Lord, you've allowed them to be here in this service for them to know that they are loved and that you still want to use them, want to move in their life and restore broken things. Father, I pray that they would hear that today. God, there are those that you have that are here in this house that have been living life on their own terms. And may they hear the words of Peter. Turn to God and repent. At times of refreshment from the Lord will come again. It's not too late. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day for the Lord to work and move in your life. And repentance is not just about starting to go to church and turning over a new leaf. Repentance is turning to God. Repentance is saying, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I will follow Jesus. If you're here today and today you need to turn to God, today you want to make a public confession that, yes, you will be a follower of Christ. Just lift your hand toward heaven right now. God loves you. God's working in you. God's working for you. God's got something great in your life. But you got to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, God. Here I am. I see that hand. God loves you. God's working in you. All you got to do is just surrender. Surrender to the Lord. Maybe you're here today, and like Peter and John, you want to be full of the Holy Spirit so that God can use you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He still works in the miraculous. It didn't end with the early church. It didn't stop with the prophets of old. God is still performing miracles. God is still speaking to people's lives. God is still restoring individuals. But what God desires is a vessel to flow through. And I want you to be that vessel today. Can we all stand together? And what I want you to do as GT Worship begins to lead us, I'm going to ask us as a church family, step out from where we are, come down front, and let's spend some time worshiping the Lord. You raise your hand.